And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 230. My name is Silas Lindenstein, and welcome to the longest-running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today, I am joined again with my co-host, Samantha Rund. We had to cut this interview, this episode, a little short. We didn't have time to do our introduction that we usually do afterwards because I had to run somewhere. So just decided, hey, Silas, do your intro on your own. And it's so I'm here and telling you about our guest. Our guest is a returning guest for a different reason. Jason DeLeo returns to the show to talk about Lit Immersive, a new company that he co-owns in Seattle. It's an interactive performance experience type venue in Seattle near the Seahawks Stadium, Lumen Field. And they are doing some really exciting stuff there. And so I wanted to bring him in and talk about an interactive theater and the interactive experience genre that we are now in. And he came in and talked about that. And of course, Jason, once again, he's the first guest ever to do the seven questions again. And I'll do a video later contrasting, comparing his answers then and now and see how that goes. So that I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I've never seen that before, so I want to see how that works out. So anyway, this is another episode with Samantha. So don't worry. She's here. I'm here. And Jason's here. So do all the things that we asked. Subscribe, share, leave a review. All those great things. But right now, I just want you to sit back, relax, open your hearts, and open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 230, Jason DeLeo and Lit Immersive. Today, I am dressed, I don't know if you can tell in the video,
dressed to
Samantha
impress.
Or anybody, like I'm wearing this fuzzy.
Actually, yeah, that was the very first thing I wanted to say when I saw
hood.
That you look so cozy. And what is that from?
Well, it's a Liverpool soccer. Like they make a bunch of these. Everyone in my family now has one of something. My daughter has a Stranger Things one, and my wife has, I forget the one she has now, but it's like. She has a Liverpool, but it's different. It's red with black lettering. It's really warm and cozy. Great Christmas kind of present. That's what they were. But the only reason I'm actually wearing it, well, one, it does get chilly in my room, depending on how long I've had to heat it up. And in the Blair, it gets cold. But I was actually wearing a shirt that I wore in a episode a couple of times ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't want it to mess up and look like it was the same episode. But I can't get into my room because my wife's on a phone call in there. So I'm like, okay, let me throw this on. It's the only other way. It was either this or go topless, and I wanted to keep our ratings, you know, PG.
Right. Yeah, but man, all the new fans we would have gotten.
Only fans, I think they're called. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we were off last week, Samantha.
Yes.
Because I was in Nashville. Have you ever been to Nashville?
I think I might have been. It's weird.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know I might have actually been. I have to check. So that this tour that I did, a touring theater show that toured around the country, and we went to so many places. I don't remember everywhere that we went. Nashville, we may have been there, or we may have just driven through.
So if you did, it was really
a long time.
Like you didn't, you weren't a tourist.
I wasn't a tour. It's kind of ridiculous. Well, there's so
Wait,
much.
Was that Up With People?
No, that was through Seattle Children's Theater. We did one of the American Doll.
Okay.
It it was like a big production. It was awesome. It was like, you know, it was really good. And I got the most glorious costumes. My character was so fun.
So when you do those, did you not get to go see the cities that you were in? Were you in and out so quick you didn't really get to?
You know, this was several years ago, so it's a little foggy for my memory. But some of them we did. Like, I remember when we were in Florida, we went to Disney World Land, whichever the one is. Disney World. We went there in Florida. So we did see some things, but some it was quicker, the stay. Some it was a little, you know, maybe did a little bit more sightseeing. But, you know, we were all together. It's not like I had my own van or my own van. It's not like I had my own car to just like wherever. But I did. Oh, no, I remember I did get to see some friends, too. If I was in a city that I had friends in, it'd be like, hey, like, yeah, let's like.
Yeah.
Work for a little bit. But. And at any rate, this is about you, Silas. I do not.
No, it's about us. Look, it was fascinating. I went to. You know, it's called Music City is the nickname of it. Mm-hmm. Went down the Broadway because their Broadway is also a music thing, is a arts thing, but it's music.
Yeah.
And it's like the music. I don't know if it's considered a music row, if that's the. No, that's not music row, but it's where all the music's playing. Bars open at 10 a.m. or earlier with somebody performing.
Cool.
Right, they already have people booked at 10 a.m. all through. They're playing all night, right? Sure. Like music is going through all hours. What blew me away was to discover that none of the artists are paid to perform.
Okay.
Like, for the most part, like unless you're going to like a different kind of show somewhere else, but on that strip that they're mostly just unpaid people looking for mic time.
So they're treated like comedians.
This is what I found fascinating.
Yeah.
People complain so much about, comedians will complain so much about not getting paid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the place people go to get discovered.
Uh-huh.
And they're not paid.
Yeah. Well,
and they're like performing at 10 a.m. for a bar. And I'm like, Of three people, right? And I'm like, oh, well, I totally feel how this was. But I was thinking about the stage. Like, they're still trying to get their performance hours, right? And getting used to.
Exactly. I mean,
because with people.
I'm like, such a big topic, because we both understand that feeling, though not at playing at open mics as comedian, as I mean, musicians rather. But unless if you have played as a musician at an open mic that I'm not aware of.
No, but I mean, the thing is, these aren't open mics. They're booked. You know, right. This person is booked for two hours to play.
Oh, 2 whole hours? That's a long time. Oh, 2 hours is a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Because
at least an hour and a half.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Although, I mean.
But here's the thing. Like, they do, though, like, have almost everyone we went to, they had a QR code up for you to be able to tip the artists.
Oh, good.
You know, if you're enjoying them. And it's just wild to me. But I was also like, because here's the thing. Like, yeah, I want to get, I like getting paid.
Right.
To do comedy, to act.
Right.
But none of them, I mean, I'll kind of do them for free, too.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, if that's the music hub or whatever, or one of the music, you know, hubs of the country, if you are going to do that for free to be discovered, to get your hours, to get like your break, it's at a place where it's like ripe for that happening. Because if somebody's just asking you to do that in the middle of where there's no opportunities,
and
you're just, you know, taking advantage of you, like it's very different. It does make the thing probably that I did that was close to it, just because of the number of hours that you're saying. I think that would have probably been doing like films for free to build up my reel.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would probably be closer hour wise, but still it's
the pay for me is it's the balance for time.
Mm-hmm.
To take me away, to pay for what I'm going to have to spend to do this. Because I do think for the most part, it's kind of a parasitic relationship where the bars venues are not paying the artists.
Right. That's where it's kind of like,
I mean, but I think that's in comedy too. That's in comedy too.
Yeah, but you're not doing 2 hours for free.
Am I not?
Are you doing 2 hours for free?
Well, think about it.
I'm not going to do 2 hours for free.
I might be on stage. I might only be on stage for 4 or 5 minutes. But how long did that night take me to do that show?
Well, yeah, I mean, true, but...
I know. We don't put a value on our time.
We're not really doing things for free.
Yeah. Well... But, you know, with the, there's always that hope it's going to lead to something, you know, except when you go to like Wenatchee or something to perform.
I don't
you know that that's
I mean,
not.
I didn't mind doing shows for free in LA because it could, there was a greater chance of getting paid, like somebody seeing and you getting paid for it, you know? Plus, I was
It's always the dream. It's that little nugget is out there like, well, this might be it. Like it's there's parts of me that is furious about the whole system, right?
Well, yeah. But I want to weigh it for yourself.
I want to get a couple of these artists still on the show because I really like them, and I'm really fascinated by the way it works, like how they seem to be able to know every song. Like they're like, hey, anybody want me to play something? And you name it, and then they play it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like how? How did they do that? I know they had phone. Everyone had phones, and sometimes it looked like they were, like maybe pulling up to be able to play it. Like there's an app or something that they can. Mm-hmm. But even that, I can't. Like, if you told me, hey, could you do the Eddie Murphy bit from Raw? I'm like, and even if you put up a teleprompter, I wouldn't be able to do it just like that the first time, right? Just say it. Even if I knew the bit, I think I would screw it up. And the fact that they are able to do the music, like play the guitar and sing a song for the first time in front of us is amazing to me. It's nothing for them, but
aren't you wearing the right colors though? Is my memory wrong right
for
now?
Raw?
Yeah, aren't you wearing the right color scheme at least?
I would need to do it'd be a red outfit.
It would be inverted. Like it's mostly red with just a little bit of
The classic red. That,
I mean,
you know,
you're just like 1% there.
The outfit that got Gretchen to fall in love with me. The leather red.
That's outfit. Your vibe. 100% your vibe.
It's hard being this sexy, is what I say. It's hard being this sexy. It is. It's one of the curses of my life, but I'm amazed by the system. I want to know how this works more, but also it's one of those cities. Like I was afraid of the racism potentially there.
Yeah.
Right. But everyone was so friendly, though. I was told later that it's one of those cities that people are maybe nice, but not kind. And you don't know what they're saying behind your back. However, I didn't get that sense. Like everyone.
Not everywhere is like nice. It's like the part that was that I was referring to was that you don't know what they're saying behind your back.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying was, my friend said, well, Nashville, they'll be super sweet to you. Then they'll talk trash behind your back. And I say, well, I'm from Boston, where we talk trash to your face and then say nice things behind your back.
Oh, that's
you
funny. Know,
that's the difference there. The food was incredible. Just amazing food. Like the barbecue was so good. But the racism, like I didn't feel what I expected to.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even see a Confederate flag. What's going on? Here's like, I just thought they'd be out somewhere.
Right.
I understand I am in the city part, an artsy city, kind of in a college community is where I was, I believe. So maybe that's to be expected, to be a little gentler. But, you know, it took some. Here's an interesting thing, though. Nashville was one of the first cities to fall in the Civil War that the Union took over. And we were told this on a tour. And then I was walking by this building that had a sign about it, and it said how it was a place that was made, they made swords for the Confederacy during the war between the states. And when the federal army took over, they stopped making swords. And I thought it was interesting because I'm like, war between the states. That's a nice little spin on civil war. Oh, war between the states. It wasn't, you know, we weren't, it wasn't a traitorous state trying to hold on to slavery. It was just a war between the states. Oh, between. I just thought that was kind of funny language.
Yeah, I was just thinking, actually, when you said that, it was just, I thought you were going to take it someplace else, but it's cool.
Like a war between.
I was just thinking about like the current situation when you said war between the states, and I was thinking, but yeah, that's where my mind went. But yeah, it is a, wording is everything, huh?
Like words. Yeah, a lot of little justification there. But I discovered Nashville was one of the first southern states to have public school, like the first southern state to have public school.
That's cool.
And I was thinking, like, well, that's interesting because it also became a huge music scene.
Yeah.
I wonder if there might be a correlation between education and appreciating the arts.
We didn't even plan that.
No. But and then almost like we learn things and learn to appreciate music.
And also, when people, it made me think as well as some people might be trying to get rid of education right now and are also trying to take over one of the epitome of artistic excellence.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we have in the waiting room right now, Jason DeLeo. I'm going to welcome him in, our guest for today. Welcoming Jason DeLeo live, not live, but recorded, trying not to edit, adding him in here right now during our show. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Jason DeLeo, returning guest. We are.
Oh,
because we had to start. Unless I need to pause something.
Nope.
And then we can go. Okay. Jason from Lit Immersive. You've been on before talking about improv. You're on talking. Well, it's still about improv, right? A little bit.
Not really. Immersive is a little different than improviser, although some of the best immersive actors are improvisers. But there is additional training that's required when an improviser comes in because it's a lot more than just yes and.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so I was telling.
Like I boiled that whole thing down.
Yeah. So I messaged Samantha real quick before the show saying how you were coming. Oh, yeah. You guys, have you met?
I don't think you were on last time. I mean, I've seen you in the podcast before, but I don't think we met last time.
I don't think so either. Well, hello. Salutations.
It's just people from the acting world. I just always assume everyone knows each other somehow. And everyone knows Jason. Like, it's hard to meet people that don't know Jason, it seems. Like, even not. I was at lunch and I said, do you know Jason DeLeo? And they said, yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay. So Lit Immersive is right next to Lumen Field. Mm-hmm. Wait, doesn't Lumen mean light?
It does. Well, Lumen is a company within CenturyLink that does a lot of lighting. Yeah.
So Lit, Lumen kind of goes together, right?
Mm-hmm. There is connection.
You've been open for just... what is it? 6 months now?
Yeah. 6 months since our first show. September was our first show. Nailed we took possession of the space here in March, but we had a few months of construction to turn a beautiful office, hip, cool office space into, in essence, a big open theater, which is where you start for immersive. And, I had to add some bathrooms and change the whole life safety system and put up giant curtains to make the room dark during the shows and all kinds of things, rebuild the bar, all kinds of things we did.
So LIT is, it's live theater.
It is.
Wait, does LIT stand for live interactive theater?
That is one of the many things LIT.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have, but we never really nailed down exactly. We kind of, it's immersive. So we let you decide what it means.
Okay.
But live immersion theater is the first thing that people say.
Okay. And so for those people that have not experienced an immersive show, what would you describe it to for the audience?
There are many kinds of immersive, and immersive is a term that is being thrown around to mean a lot of things. So, for example, if you went to see the Van Gogh show down about a mile away from us when it was here, people called that an immersive show, which was basically paintings projected on giant screens. Very emotional, very cool. Tony and Tina's wedding back in the days would have been called an immersive show because it's theatrical, but you're in the middle of it, right? So it's hard to say, you know, exactly what it is. The Friends exhibit up the street called itself an immersive experience, right? So
okay, I did that.
We try to, it's overused, that's for sure. But what we like to say is the style of immersive that LIT Immersive is trying to present to the world is more story-based. So you are immersed in the middle of a story. You are, in essence, playing a character in our shows. And you are not sitting in a theater. You are moving around. You are interacting directly with actors. So the, like we said at the beginning when I logged on, the actors are improvising throughout the show, but they're very, very heavy character based. So there's a lot of rehearsals. We do all our auditions through the theater community and the immersive, through the improv community. And it is it's a theatrical contract. So it's, that's kind of the shows we're trying to do. So for example, we're finishing up a run, a very, very successful show called Ambrosia Inc., which I am sitting on the set of. And, this show is an open world show where you come in and it is your first day at work and you are working for an energy company called Ambrosia Inc. And it's set in one of those bro companies of the 90s where the CEO loves to party and drink with all the employees. And it's all, so the set I'm sitting on right now is actually the CEO's office, which consists of a dance floor and a stage and a bar and all that. And then all around us in various rooms are the different departments of it. So you get assigned a department when you come in based on what you enjoy doing. So when we onboard you into the show, we ask you, do you like puzzles? Do you like, treks, like given quests, you just like to socialize, and based on your answer you get assigned to a department, and that's where you start. And then of course you can move around because it's open world, but the objective of the show is to save the company. And it's got escape room elements, it's got, believe it or not, karaoke, comedy, dance things that happen. It's got a great bar program. It's really fun. And if you haven't seen it,
so if somebody is shy and doesn't want to be a performer,
yes,
is this a thing they can enjoy?
It is, absolutely. This is what the show is built for. The show is built so people who want to are like, they want to get involved and talk to everybody they can. But if you're shy, it's totally super fun because you can just step back and get involved when you want to. And there's like, for example, one of the activities that we built for people who maybe are a little shy, it's a scavenger hunt, but it uses your cell phone. So you walk around, you're given a list of things that you need to try to find. And then at the end, you get a little prize out of it. And what that does is it brings people around the whole show to walk around, and eventually people find something like, oh, that looks like a fun puzzle. The other thing that's fun about it is a lot of the puzzles and activities take multiple people. So you meet a lot of people through this. It's just, this show has been 100% success. And it's really what we wanted to do, was to give Seattle a super fun night where you are you know, you can bring all your friends or come as a date night or all the girls come, which are things we've seen. And you can stay together. You can divide up. You know, we have this show is about 9,000 square feet. So there's a lot of different spaces and alcoves you can go. But you can also just come here. I'm actually right on top of the dance floor right here. You can see it right now. So
do the shows have a start
of this show? You can kind of see the, it's not lit up right now, but yeah.
So does the show have a start time, like a 7 o'clock curtain?
Yes. So we tell people to come between 7:15 and 7:30. The actual show starts right around 7:40. We wait until a more majority of the guests are checked in. We have a real simple check-in process. You know, short line to get in. People come early before we open the doors. We actually open the bar and sell drinks to people when they come in. It's get people going, get the whole atmosphere, the party, because it is basically one big party. We have a great soundtrack that's playing the whole time. It's really great.
So how long is it,
the show? It's about 2 hours.
2 hours?
But no
intermission.
Day after. Because it's just constantly going. There are breaks throughout the show where everybody comes back into this room. Every time a department completes all their tasks, everybody comes in this room and there's a big celebration. And we never know the order that's going to happen because it's really up to the guests. So that's the beauty. And then the whole time while the show's going on, there's all kinds of smaller dramas with the characters. And, you know, there's some of the quest people are sent on or like trying to hook up two office members to start an office romance, or in last week's case, there was a throuple that happened that was pretty funny. It happened right in front of me and I was cracking up. So the actors really got into it. You know, we have a character that you might find out is stealing from the company, and we have to figure out, you know, it's just really, really neat. And then it turns out actually he's not, but it's we have, you know, those money machines that you see on videos where they go in and have to get all the money. We built one of those, and we don't introduce that till the second half. I'm giving it away. But I'm telling you, last week we had a line of people who all went and got drinks at the end of the show, and they waited in line. And then we sent our bartender over, and it was open for an hour after the show because everybody wanted to go and do the money machine in person. We have a big ball pit. That's a puzzle that you have to jump into. We have, there's 54 different puzzles, treks, and hunts that you can participate in. And every person only gets to do a part of them, which is why we've had some big repeatability. We actually are offering a deal for our closing night for anybody who's come to the show. We'll give them a little discount for next Friday night, which is March 7th.
Samantha, have you ever been an actor in an interactive kind of experience?
Yes.
Which one? Murder Mystery Train? Murder Mystery Train?
No, well, that's the thing that's weird is I was like, do you guys ever feel like you just don't remember enough stuff? Because I don't think I have memory problems, but you ask me something and I'm like, yeah, I did something like that. Why don't I remember? Oh, because it was a long time ago and there's been lots of stuff in between. But it wasn't interactive in that same way, though. Like, that sounds so fun.
It's awesome. Different because we are big fans of this sort of entertainment. We have we're working with a company out of LA called Culture House. Culture House Entertainment, a lot of people, you may have heard of them because they produced Black Twitter. They have been involved in a lot of, it's a very LGBTQ POC heavy focus, a great company. And they started a new wing called Culture House Immersive with Michael Tara Garver, who did originally did the Disney Galactic Starship Experience. So they brought her on and they are building I'm allowed to talk about this now. I couldn't talk about it for like a year, but they have an incubator that they're incubating. I think they're up to about 27 different projects. It's got heavy VC funding, and we're one of the original producing members of them. So we're actually working on a project right now that I'm not allowed to talk about yet with another partner in Seattle. It's very cool. And so we've got cool stuff coming up, but that's it's really they're finding that these immersive, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but theater, traditional proscenium theater, isn't doing as well since COVID. The subscribers aren't coming back, or they're dying. And it's, as much as I'm a theater kid, I go to every musical I could find. My partner and I go to New York twice a year. I mean, we love it, but it is struggling. And especially since it's nonprofit and it's based on, so we are trying to change that model because we believe immersive is the future of theater. And we treat this, we treat our actors well. We really treat our immersive experiences and our actors as, you know, we don't just hire a bunch of kids that you hire to jump out at haunted houses, for example. We love haunted houses, but, and quite frankly, haunted houses are immersive experiences, but we try to do it right. And then, and also our immersive experiences, we want them to be very one-on-one, very heavy with actually talking. We want the guests to actually have a say so if how the show flows. So we never know how this show is going to go. There is actually no timing calendar on it. And there are points in the show where our stage management, we have to go. We have a couple of actors on headset where we have to say, okay, we got to bump this up because we're going to run out of time. Right. Yeah. So because we do want the show to feel organic. So it's really organic, which I love about it. Because I walk around, I act as security and help the bar and keep the place clean and stuff like that.
Are you security for every show?
Every show. I keep the actors safe.
So if it was like a Dracula show, you'd be like a little like vampire walking around?
Oh, I don't know. No, every show is different. This particular show, we were able to, we didn't need a security department like we've had for other shows.
Okay.
Because it's just the way the show goes. You kind of decide what the risk is. And if people, nobody's alone with anybody in this show, like in a maze type show where somebody could be alone, you got to kind of be, and we have cameras and all that sort of thing, yeah. But it's this show, it's more of just reacting if somebody's drinking a little too much. So, and we're real on top of that. It's pretty easy. The guests, they only have 2 hours here. So they, unless they pregame, which does happen a bit, and we keep an eye on that.
Do you have a season, like a set season?
No, we're not quite there yet. We consider ourselves still in our development time of the company. So we're testing different things. Like we do have, for example, we have a show called Pringles Inventinasium. You might've heard about it. It was it's our Christmas show. It's a family show where it's basically a takeoff of the old Santa mall visit. But what ours is, it's a whole 1 hour experience where you move from room to room and you build it. The kids build a toy. And at the end, you get that personal visit with Santa. But everything is elevated to be really high end. So it's all very one on one, you know, small groups of people that walk through, or you can actually buy out the whole group and you're in each room for about 6 minutes. The Santa visit is totally private with just you, your family, and a photographer, and the pictures are included in the cost. The toy is included in the cost. So it's definitely not considered an inexpensive event, but comparing it against what you would pay to go wait in line and buy the pictures at the mall, it's actually a great value. And it's a whole experience, and people cry and just love it. Our characters are so amazing because each room has pulling, and it's not your typical Santa, you know, green and blue. It's a wild world. If you go to MrKringle.com, you can see the pictures of the show. It's very wild, very colorful. You know, the characters are all considered, some people call them the elves, we call them the wisps of imagination, and they're all part of Mr. Kringle's world. So there's a whole storyline behind every character and why they're there and what they do is part of the world of Kringle. And it started in Cleveland, and it's been running for 15 years in Cleveland. And my partner Jen and I were looking around the U.S. Last year during Christmas time to be inspired by different kinds of Christmas events, because we knew we wanted to put on the ultimate holiday event at Lit, And we ran across this show and we knew that was what we had to have. And it took a couple of months to convince them to let us license the show. And we did. And Seattle just loved it. So we can't wait.
Sounds amazing.
But to answer your question, Silas, we don't have a season, but we do have that show we can already talk about. We have a Halloween show that's going to be another adult-based show that we're in negotiations right now with a production company out of L.A. And it looks great. I can't talk about it, what it is, but I can tell you it's going to be very adult and it's going to be very Seattle adult are a little nuttier and a little bit, you know, are the way we have relationships and all that. And the show plays into
burlesque.
It's burlesque. We love burlesque. It's everywhere. And I think there might be a little bit of burlesque is as part of the show,
burlesque-esque, but
more than that. It's a big party. It's a big, immersive experience. It's going to be great. It's really, I wish I could talk about it. 'Cause I just had a meeting like 20 minutes ago about it. And, about the next step, and it just keeps getting better and better. So
you can't you don't have like a season subscription someone can buy yet.
We're not there because we're
gift cards or anything.
We might eventually go there. Right now we're show to show because we're also doing other things. Like, for example, we are a bar right in front of Lumen Field. So last night before the game, the soccer game, we opened up and we're starting to get people to realize that we're an alternative to the other two great bars that are right around us. And they do a great job and we actually know them. They're our friends. We'll become friends with everybody, but we're a little different and we're going to be taking advantage of that. Some of the things we're working on for the next 3 or 4 months are bar activations. We think the pop-up model that we saw through Christmas, and there's some dive bars in Seattle that are starting to do more pop-up-y things. And we think by taking that model where it's a limited time, it's only here for 4 weeks, you know, and you better get in quick, that sort of thing, and do and have a bar experience that's really fun. And so we're playing off that right now. There's some more stuff to that, but nothing is confirmed yet. This will probably most likely start in April because we are for March, we're focusing on, well, we got to take the set down first of all, but we're focusing on baseball and those games and taking the front of half of our building and becoming a fun bar that's open before games and stuff and concerts.
I guess you'd probably have shows going on all the time, but I was like, man, I wonder if there was like a opportunity for like an immersive soccer experience or.
Oh, we've talked about it. We've had
baseball
We had an immersive soccer experience pitched to us by a company from I don't even remember, but something to go with sports. 'Cause we're also obviously right across the street from the World Cup. So we are.
That's going to be fantastic.
We're weighing ideas of what we want to do during World Cup because we are in the prime location. So,
World Cup is 2027.
2026.
26.
Yeah. That's what we're focusing on. This summer's World Cup will just be
World Cup, Club Cup, World Club Cup, World. It's really hard to explain these two.
That's a good one.
Explain to Americans about why cups are important is really hard, it seems, because we just don't. It'd be nice if basketball had like a random tournament in the middle of the season or something. That's what we need to do to get football, people to understand.
In the middle of football season, Tuesday night, all the players play for different teams and play,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that'd be fun. It's funny. I just looked up.
I had to ask you last night, what's a tournament? And I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay.
So I looked up your last appearance. It's funny, Samantha. So he last appeared at episode 105 on May 27th, 2020. So we were right in the pandemic.
Oh.
And I think we actually started a new format with this episode. And I was looking, I was like, oh, that was a good format. I forgot we were doing that 100 episodes ago.
Oh, geez.
Or so ago. And Jason did answer the 7 questions on that episode, too.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I think you two met, but we didn't videotape it. I think that was that makes it hard. Now that we're videotape extraordinaires. Well, it was 5 years, guys. It was almost 5 years ago.
That's bonkers.
Half a decade.
I would be curious if my 7 answers have changed.
I would too. Okay. That's,
yeah.
You didn't listen to it, right?
No.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember them.
So let's do your 7 questions again. Ooh, and see if it's
a new feature for your podcast.
Return of the 7 questions. Yeah. And then later on, I'll put up a side by side. See if they change.
Editing. Ooh,
content. And then we got to go after this because we got to go early. All right. Jason DeLeo returning for our world famous 7 questions. Boom, boom. All right. Number 1, what are you most nerdy about?
I would probably say I could say immersive theater since that's what we're doing, but I would just say in general discovering new types of entertainment and that people are trying to create I'm always watching for that sort of thing. Like different ways that entertainment is evolving. And loving watching it. And that could be a theme park like Epic Universe. I can't wait to go see what they're doing. You know, things like it could be that or a new Broadway show that's doing things like Phantom doing it immersive. I can't wait to see what the heck that is. That's what I'm nerdy about.
Okay. Number 2, what's something that you love to eat?
Oh, God. I am a pizza aficionado. I believe nobody makes the best pizza yet. And I love it when somebody says there's a new pizza and I have to go try it to see what's different about it.
Favorite topping? Is that what you were going to say, Samantha?
Yeah, I was wondering if there were like any current favorites or.
Oh, okay.
Stevie's in Burien is fantastic. And I feel lucky because I live in Burien. So I was there like 4 days after they opened. And now it's just, they keep getting written up as the best pizza in Seattle. So, I love Moto still. I was a fan of Moto back when you had to order it 6 months before and be on the internet at midnight or 6 a.m. to put your order in for, you know, back then. Now there's 4 or 5 Motos to pick it up in and they're on Uber Eats. But it's still a great pizza. And you could also get it at T-Mobile.
Oh, okay.
So one of the fun, and this is just a funny aside, since we're next to the stadiums during baseball season, we go on to online and find like $10 tickets that are being resold. We go in, watch a few innings and have lunch and then come back to work. We all do it. It's really fun. The joys of working in this area.
That's awesome. All right. Number 3, what's something that you love to drink?
You know what? I am an iced tea drinker, period. I drink water, carbonated water, and iced tea pretty much exclusively.
Is that Sweden?
I use Splenda.
Splenda.
But I have had the Southern version of iced tea where they put whiskey in it, and it is good. So that is a plus if I'm at
a place. Is that called something?
I think it was just called Southern Iced Tea. I actually discovered it at a baseball game in, I think it was in Texas, in Dallas or Houston. It was a Houston baseball game, and they had it at the field. I'm like, this is really good. And then you can get it at bars. You just ask for it. I'm like, ooh.
You can get hard liquor at Lumen, right? You're just not supposed to, theoretically, not supposed to bring it to the stands.
I don't know. I think they have some like beer gardens where they sell hard liquor and you can't bring it out, and then everything else is just in the can.
Yeah. Okay. Number 4, what kind of music do you love?
Ooh, that's, I am very varied. I kind of like all music. I'm a musician on the side. I perform over at Unexpected Productions. Improv is a musician, improvising musician. So I pretty much like everything. I can turn on any station when I'm driving and just enjoy what I'm listening to. Truthfully. And I love Broadway. So Broadway music is always in the rotation for long drives. You know, pop music. I'm a big hip hop fan, have been for years. So
you go to a lot of concerts. I've seen I go to a lot of concerts.
And all different varying kinds of concerts because I love new bands. I love, you know, a guy sitting on stage with a guitar, singer, songwriter, just I'm happy.
Excellent. All right. Number five. What do you love to create?
Well, I like to create part of our, you know, the whole core of this business that we've created is finding ways to get people to connect together in person. It's all about the original connections. You know, we all do it on our phone or on Zoom or whatever, but having people actually get together and talk to each other and, you know, having a, like, I love that we're finding we've become date night. You know, first date night, because these are great. You get to really get to know somebody when you're running around doing puzzles and interacting. You can see if they're shy or if they're goofy. And so I love that we're creating that. I like just creating things that are in a group. I mean, that's what we do at improv, right? You know, when I'm playing music, I'm supporting what's happening on stage and I'm part of that. And you're trying to create art. So I think that's what I enjoy creating. Happiness
is, I was wanting to sing Charlie Brown right there.
That's exactly where my work, yeah, too.
Having a ice cream.
Doing a podcast with you. Yeah.
With Black and a Half. Number six, what's a game you love to play?
I like Cards of Humanity. That game, those kind of games are really fun because again, it's a bunch of people messing with each other.
I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, it's to me that's the kind of thing I've tried to get into the you know the role playing the dice games that you play for 9 hours. My partner loves those kind of games, and she's tried to bring me in. Just not my.
You like party games,
yeah,
kind of.
Probably more like more party games. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And last question, number seven. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
I would love to be remembered at the beginning of the immersive trend and that we really supported it in a way that nobody's done because nobody's done this yet in the US where they've built a specific venue that is designed specifically for open world and linear immersive shows. It's I'm pretty proud that because we're part of a lot of immersive groups and friends with No Proscenium and all these groups. And everybody has been like, wow, you guys are really doing something different. And everybody pitches us with ideas of shows they want to do. So I would love that if we see this as growing and it would be just really cool if they go, yeah, Lit Immersive kind of started that part of a new way to present immersive entertainment.
Next stop, Holodex.
Yes. Well, I mean, in reality, we tried that because that's what the, you know, you put the.
Oh, the VR. Yeah.
And that's just, it never really hit. And right now AR is starting to, we have a couple of projects that have been pitched to us that are AR where you use your phone and everything, but I'm still not convinced yet because the minute I'm staring at my phone, I'm no longer in the world. I'm looking at a piece of technology. But there, we have done a couple of shows that we've been to where some people are using it as a tool to go along with it. One Starship Galactic, the Starship from Disney, the hotel used your phone as a tool within the experience, but it was more for just information and as opposed to, which that's okay. But, you know, to me, it's more fun to be interacting, you know.
Yeah Well, that's exciting. I hope you do start a whole like almost genre. That would be fantastic. And they'll be like, I knew him when he was a Lyft driver.
And I I don't know when this will play, but we Ambrosia runs tomorrow night, Friday, which is the 28th, I think. And then March 1st, which is Saturday night. And then next week, March 7th is our last night.
Yeah, so it'll run before the 7th run. So hopefully, hopefully you don't, you know, we might sell you out, possibly, I guess, with our millions of listeners.
Right? Yes, we've gotten close. All those we have not sold out yet. Yeah. But it has a pretty big capacity, so we're
good.
Like, if we get up to our number that we're like, oh, we should probably stop there, and two people show up at the door, we're gonna get them.
Yeah. So it's good to hear. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We'll check you out. What's your website? What's the website for Lit?
www.litimmersive.com. And you can also see our Christmas show at mrkringle.com, KRINGLE. And that's the window into that show. And that's pretty cool. It's a neat site.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Black and a half.